I'm Amy Walter. Welcome back. President Trump's colorful exit from the G7 summit last week capped a remarkable breakdown in relations between America and some of its closest allies. While a trade war with Canada might have been the rivalry that nobody saw coming, as a candidate, Donald Trump rallied his base in part by promising to do exactly what he's doing right now: get tough on trade and stop allowing the rest of the world to push us around. On the campaign trail, it was China, not Canada, that Trump was the most aggressive in attacking.
When the Chinese come in and they want to make great trade deals, and they make the best trade deals, and not anymore. When I'm there, we turn it around, folks. We turn it around. We have a $500 billion deficit, trade deficit with China. We're going to turn it around, and we have the cards.
Which makes the president's recent action toward China hard to understand. More specifically, with all the focus on keeping jobs in the United States, why did the president get involved in saving a Chinese company, ZTE?
So ZTE is essentially, it's a really large Chinese telecommunications company. They're very popular for selling smartphones. I'm not sure whether you've seen their products in the US. They're actually the fourth largest, or before these issues at least, they were the fourth largest smartphone vendor in the world. And actually, the US is one of their biggest markets. If you get like an AT&T or a Verizon branded phone and you crack it open, it may have the ZTE brand inside. Mm. They make smartphones.
That's Kate Cadell, China technology correspondent at Reuters. President Trump's decision to protect ZTE earned some pushback from lawmakers. In fact, the Senate, as part of their recently passed defense authorization bill, introduced an amendment that would effectively undo the president's agreement. I asked Kate why ZTE is so important and how this company's success or failure fits into the escalating trade war between the U.S. and China.
The issue with ZTE was that a couple of years ago, they were found to have been selling products to Iran against U.S. sanctions by setting up these quite deceptive shell companies. Obviously, that irked the U.S. They got put under these very strict probationary measures. And then it was discovered recently that despite these really strict measures, they'd broken these rules. They continued to pay executives these bonuses they weren't supposed to. They lied to U.S. regulators and they'd done all this sort of stuff which went against this agreement. What the U.S. did in reaction was to tell them that you can no longer buy U.S. equipment for 7 years.
You can't buy anything from the U.S. for 7 years, which really would have completely decimated the ZTE business, right?
Yeah. So to put it into perspective, pretty much all, especially the semiconductors in these phones, they're largely Qualcomm semiconductors. And this is a product which China just can't make, and especially ZTE can't make. They don't make their own semiconductors. So to say that they can't buy these is to essentially condemn the company. There's really no way out of it for them.
And so most recently we heard about this because the president, in a tweet at one point, said, listen, ZTE, they're going to lose a lot of jobs if this goes through. We're going to take care of this. What did that mean and what has actually happened?
So, I mean, it's still all up in the air. Essentially, ZTE has been given this out, a very expensive out, to perhaps pay this massive fine and then get around this sanction on buying U.S. technology. But it's still very unclear how this is going to play out. We've noticed since ZTE resumed trading on Wednesday, they've lost about 30 to 40% of their value.
Yeah, it seems to me that this debate over ZTE is less about the issue of trade than it is using as a bargaining chip in the debate about sanctions and trade deficits.
Yeah, exactly. So what's really at the heart of this is the issue over semiconductors. So this is something China is very, very keen to start building themselves. And it's a really big sore point between China and the U.S. because China imports some $200 billion worth of semiconductors a year. It's at points more than they spend on crude oil, just to put that in perspective. Mm. It's also the U.S.'s fourth largest export. So it's one of these sorts of products where China is really like over a barrel reliant on the U.S. And what China has been trying to do is spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to build their own semiconductor factory, something that's irked companies in the U.S. because it could mean that the U.S. will lose a lot of business. But what's become clear with this ZTE situation is that for China, it's kind of a proof of point, right? They look at this and they say, well, this is exactly why we need to kind of supplant the U.S. as one of the biggest semiconductor makers, because, you know, today it's one Chinese company. Tomorrow it could be huge swathes of Chinese industry which are affected by semiconductor bans, potentially the Chinese military.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to get to, which is there seems to be two things going on here. One is about competition for a very important resource, which is semiconductors and technology. But the issue that it seems at least American government officials are the most worried about and members of Congress are worried about is security, right? China putting into the American market this technology that could be used to spy on Americans, could be used for nefarious purposes. Is that a big piece of this as well?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a large part of the dialogue. I mean, we've seen in the past that the U.S. has banned certain Chinese products by Huawei, which is the other large telecom provider, over these fears that they will use the technology to somehow to spy on U.S. military or U.S. companies. They've banned, you know, purchasing these Chinese smartphone brands in military bases and things like that. There is definitely that sort of concern. And then, of course, the flip side is that, you know, if China spends a lot of money and, you know, forces U.S. companies within China to share technology, then technology that is competitive in the U.S. military will be, you know, be converted over to the Chinese military.
Do you think that when we think about the next tier of debates over trade, tariffs, that technology becomes as or more important than some of these other sort of physical capacities?
Absolutely. I mean, we can already see by you know, actual financial heft, semiconductors are already larger than lots of the industries you mentioned. And they're also just critically, critically important to things like military applications. So obviously under this administration, things have gotten a lot stricter. But, you know, also under the Obama administration, we already saw that the trade body was rejecting acquisitions of U.S. semiconductor companies. In areas like memory chips, which are very important for things like missile guidance systems and things like that. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that that's very accurate to say that this kind of technology is sort of like the next level of, you know, protecting not only industry, but national security.
Kate, thank you so much for helping us to decipher this topic. I really appreciate it.
Cheers. No worries. It's good to talk to you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.